to our night of celebrating what God has done for us in these last 6 weeks. It has been amazing, the things that I've heard people have said that they've done, what God has done in my own life. I'm so thankful for what he's taught me about being able to run to him, to come to him. I think I've shared this with you before, that my parents divorced when I was a year old, and I would go to visit my father. He lived always 1,000 miles away, so I would only see him for like a month out of the year, every year. And I had a younger sister, still have a younger sister. She's old now, but she's still younger than me. And when I would go to visit my dad, she was his from his second marriage, and I always slept in her room with her. And she had this beautiful canopy bed, pink canopy bed, and I was like, someday I want a canopy bed. And I loved being with my father, but it was never mine. It was always that I got to be in her bed, in her room. But what God has shown me is that he has a place for me, that when I go home to be with him, I have my own room. I'm going to have a pink canopy bed. Probably now it would be purple, because purple is my favorite color. And that same God who has a place for us, who's preparing that place for us, is right here with us now. He says, come to me, in Isaiah 55, come to me, buy wine and milk with and bread without money. Why would you labor for those things that don't satisfy? Come to me. And in Matthew 11, Jesus himself said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is the God who calls us to him. And you have found that out. You have studied that, and you've learned that. And I've had the opportunity to read what so many of you have written that you've learned. And I would love to tell you about it, but rather than me say what you've said, we thought we would put together something to show you what you've said. So if you want to sit down and enjoy your own words.
Prayer doesn't have to be crafted a specific way, and I don't have to use the perfect words in order for God to understand or appreciate what I'm saying. He just wants me, real, authentic, messy me, so I can come just as I am by the grace of God.
He has reopened my heart. I've been in a dark spot, and I've begun to withdraw from prayer. Now, I've been reminded to come to God, messy and raw.
He doesn't expect us to have all the right words when we pray. He just wants us to be real and vulnerable with him.
I find myself talking to him constantly and continually surrendering control to him. I feel more broken and vulnerable than ever, but I also feel closer to him than ever before.
My eyes have been opened at times when I would typically take control in my own strength, but now I have the clarity to turn those times into altars of prayer as I surrender control to God.
I have learned to see the gentle and loving side of the Lord, and that has changed everything. I now want to come to him with every moment of my day.
I pray now more often, all throughout my day, for everything and anything. I don't set limits on what God can do. I'm intertwining God into my entire life, praying boldly, surrendering completely.
I never truly spoke my heart to him. I brought him demands, but never admitted my feelings. I never knew he would want me if I exposed my hurt and feelings.
I feel that I can ask now without feeling selfish. I have been holding back, but I didn't even notice. And my prayer is for change in myself, evident change. It's a prayer I've never prayed before.
This has been a mirror to my heart that has been humbling, yet satisfying. I have been encouraged to see and feel God's perfect timing and answering cries of my heart to mature me in his love without fear.
I have learned that in order to grow close with God, I need to bring all areas of my life to God in prayer, no matter how small or insignificant I think the issues are. Abiding with God means I can bring the real me before God.
I have new life in my prayer walk. I now feel the freedom to come to the Lord like a child, and ask for what's on my heart. I want to pray about everything, big and small, all the time. I just want to be with my Father.
I understand that if I abide in Him, it's like opening a door from my soul to my Abba.
God loves having a personal relationship with me. He doesn't desire prayer between us because I owe Him. He wants me to come to Him with everything because I'm His daughter and He treasures being my Father.
Lord, I know You want all parts of our life and that You're always in complete control. It's wonderful to be reassured that all my childlike prayers are the way You want us to come to You. You have already started answering our prayers before we have even asked, and no prayer is too small for You.
My name's Gina Yearley, and one of the small group leaders here for Bible study. I made a note card, so because I knew when I stood up and I saw all of you sitting out there, I was going to be like, whew, my mind's gone. So bear with my note card. So Jonna just asked me to share some things that I learned from the study. And my two of my main things was, you know, distractions and time. And that, no time to commit to praying regularly. And that was two of the biggest themes, even in our small group with some of the women in my group. And we're all struggling with balancing being wives and moms and working outside of our home or just working inside of our home, just all the things that we have piled in our plate every day. And so this Bible study has really shown me that God just wants me to come just as I am. I don't have to have this huge allotment of time set aside just for praying. Like, I can do it in the shower or while I'm getting dressed or, you know, 5 minutes while I'm drinking my coffee or in my car. Like, it can be any time I want it to be. He just wants to be in continual conversation with me. And the more I do that, the more I realize that I'm not in control of everything. I like to think I am. I like to control everything. And there's nothing in life that makes you feel less in control than your kids. They have a way of just really bringing you to your knees, for sure. And so I just have found that, you know, the more I'm talking to God continually, conversation, the more I can just give the stuff that's weighing me down, the stuff that's making me worry. See, Jonna, I told you that would happen. Shoot. So I can just give all that over, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Like, He's got the control, and He's going to work all these things out for my good, my kid's good. Sorry, darn. So anyway, the other thing I really appreciated about this study is praying out loud. Like, I've never done that before. I just think it feels weird because you don't feel like you're talking to anybody but the Lord is there with you. It's just you just can't physically see Him, but you can sure feel Him. And boy, that really works. You know, I'm not thinking about my grocery list or my laundry or what I'm making for dinner or what I'm going to do at work. Like, it's just focused prayer time, and I've just really appreciated that. So, all that to say, my hope and prayer for all of you is that you can just use what you've learned in this study to set aside dedicated time for prayer. Like I said, whether it's in the shower, it's in the car, wherever you can fit it in, just talk with God. Just no fancy words, just your own words, your own mess, your own whatever, and that you'll pray boldly, asking for exactly what you want, what you feel like you need, but then just humbly willing to submit to whatever His will is for you, and then just watch God change you from the inside out. Thank you.
My name is Megan Holt, and I have just absolutely loved this study so much. I think that one of the biggest things in this study, to me, is just how it's taken a lot of things that I've known, and it's kind of let it sift down to my heart. Because a lot of things, even when I've been trying to explain it to people, I'm like, well, God is my Father. And people are like, yep,
you know? But to really get what that means and to grasp it and for it to change me from the inside out is just so awesome. So one of the biggest things and one of the biggest areas where this has hit me in my life is anxiety. I, like Gina said, I like to control things and I like to be perfect. And that just doesn't always work out. So when I look into a circumstance and I'm looking at what I want to control and what I want to come out of it and where I see my inability, that's where my anxiety comes from, right? And so I start to fear, what if? And what if I fail? Does that mean I am a failure? Does that mean this is my identity? And then my stomach starts to kind of like clench up, you know? And then I feel guilty for feeling fearful. And then it goes in a big circle where I am putting my dependency on me and not on my Father. And I'm focusing on me and my failures and not on my Father and his goodness. And so again, I've learned this before, but this book has just brought life to it for me, where I know that he is welcoming me as my Father and what that truly means to be his child. So I think one reason why I haven't gone to him is I've gotten tired of saying I'm sorry. And I've gotten tired of, you know, saying, Lord, I'm sorry I failed you again. When really, just I love this quote from the book, which says, a needy heart is a praying heart. Dependency is the heartbeat of prayer. And so that's just such a lie to think that I need to not be needy and that I need to be tired of bringing that to him. Because by saying I have a needy heart, I'm saying I need you, Jesus, because I am not enough. And so as I go forward into that and I am saying, Lord, it's okay that I'm needy and I'm allowing myself the freedom to be needy, it frees me up to just enjoy my time with the Lord. And it frees me up to where I don't fear as much. But then when I do fear, I have the freedom to bring it to the foot of the cross, kneel before him, and let those worries come off. And it's just a gift even to have those anxieties because it gives me something to pray about. And this is just where prayer starts. So I love this quote too from the book. The kingdom comes when Jesus becomes king of your life, but it has to be your life. That just, I was like, yes, it has to be my mess. It has to be my worries. It has to be my anxieties and my fears and my failures when I come to him and I leave it with me. And so it's not just that I need to come and I need to drop it and then I need to repent. It's that Jesus wants me. This last week we read about when Mary was looking for Jesus, and Jesus didn't tell her right away that he's Jesus. He let Mary come out, and he met her. He drew her out, and he met her. And I need to allow myself to do that. And so that isn't a checklist for me to do, but that just opened up my eyes to the freedom I have. And so when I come to him and I'm dependent, the book lists a few different ways that dependency is seen. And that's, again, just something I love about this book. It's practical. So I can be intimate and personal with my Jesus. I can know him. And it's a conversation. We come to the table. It's not just like a quick text, right? This is a deep conversation with a friend where I know him and he knows me. And it's not just that warm, fuzzy feeling, although I do start to feel that with him. It's something that is every area of my life and weaves in and out. And it's not just something that when I'm anxious, then I come. It's my whole day, even just the other day, big things and little things. My husband and I, we were painting, and we could not get the lid off of this paint jar. We tried for like 15 minutes, and I was like, this is silly. Usually, I would turn to my anxiety, and I would say, we can't do this. We can't do this. What are we going to do? We're not going to be able to paint the rest of the night. But I sat down. I said, Jesus, we need you. We need you. We need you out loud. Only you can open this paint can. And guys, immediately it opened. What? Jesus, yes. So anyways, we can bring this to the Lord, big and small. It is personal. He cares about my paint can. He cares about my heart. And that is just life-giving to me, right? That I can bring all of me to him. He cares about me, and then I get to meet him and watch me change. But then repentance comes after that. I just love that. Jesus meets me before that. So Jesus, during this whole study, was chipping away parts of me that I did not realize I didn't even bring to him. And I'm just so thankful. I hope that you guys, as you went through this study, found something that just, you know, brought it from your head to your heart. But this, for me, has been just the most life-giving thing. Thank you guys so much.
My name is Darla Ladeghi, and I am super excited that we're a little ahead of schedule because now I can talk longer. I'm actually not. I wish I had known we were going to have this because I would have written out my pages and I would have printed them off and just read it. It would have been easier. So I loved this book, like so many others that we've heard testimonies, not just from tonight, but through our, as the study has gone on. And I loved that he opened up being so real about prayer. And I've been a Christian for about 90% of my life, which means I started pretty young. And I know many of you have been a Christian for a long time too, but somehow prayer seems to be elusive to us, even as adult women. And it's a challenge when it's elusive to us as adults to pass on a proper view of prayer to our children. And so one thing that I loved about this book is he started out so early in the book being so clear about coming to him as a child and being dependent on him and just so many basics. And as we sat in our discussion group and everybody has these similar feelings about it, but it's hard to verbalize that. So he verbalized it for us and then we could all feel comfortable discussing our inadequacies in prayer. And one thing that I really didn't know about prayer, or I didn't know until we studied it in the book, was about lament. And I didn't know that when you kneel over your child begging God for their life, that there's a name for that. And I didn't know that when you stand in a children's hospital bathroom stall with mascara streaming down your face, that there's a name for the prayer that you're begging God to give life to that same child years later. And so the book was powerful for me in being able to understand that there was a name for that prayer, and that name, as you know, because you've read the book, was lament. And lament is the prayer that comes in the collision of faith and suffering. And so in those moments, our prayers become very short. Mine were two words, and they were, God, please, please, God. And it didn't sound like the war cry that the author of the book talked about lament being. It sounded very broken, and it sounded defeated. Definitely not like I was going into battle. And that was powerful for me because I needed to know that I was not alone in that and that those short prayers were not wrong. So when suffering happens, there's three, I used to say there's two ways you can respond. You can sit in the corner and rock in the fetal position and anesthetize yourself to what's happening. You can numb yourself out and kind of ignore it. Or I used to say there were two. The author made me realize there were three. You can be angry and cynical. So that's the second option. And the other option is to cling to him. And in his word, he says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that you may be called blameless and pure children of God in a warped and corrupt generation. And he says, when you cling, you will shine among them like the stars in the sky when you cling to the word of life. And that was the option that I chose. I chose the third one, to cling to him, because I did not want in anything that happened during our suffering to mar his name. That was my biggest worry initially, was to mar the name of the Lord. And so for the past 8 years, Carson has given us numerous, my son's name is Carson, he's given us numerous reasons to keep coming back to the Lord. His test results for 8 years have always been not simple. It would be nice if it was just cut and dry and simple, but he's not a simple kid. And those years of test results have been my desert. And in that, I've had to go to the Lord with those short prayers. And I wish they looked more fluffy and nice and more organized. The author of the book says that there are several steps in lament. Mine were two. It was begging, and then in the beginning it was two. It was just begging. But as I have grown a little and learned a little more about lament, to me, there's two parts. There's the, I have my notes too. There's the begging, and then there's turning to him in faith. And the turning to him in faith is a really pivotal part of a lament. And so I over-spiritualized. I loved that he talked about this too, because my first was begging, and I over-spiritualized my prayer. In that, I mean that his word tells us to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven, and treasures in heaven are eternal treasures, right? So that was what I prayed for. I prayed for eternal benefits. And of course, I prayed for healing for my son, but after a while, when that just didn't look like that was God's plan, I prayed for eternal benefits, for growth and spiritual things. And I submitted very quickly to that, but it wasn't very real. And that's what God talks about, or what Paul Miller talks about in the book, is being real with God. And there was such a freedom when I began to verbalize my true feelings and my real feelings to him. The freedom is that he draws me in to his grace. His word also says in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he would take this from me. And believe me, I pleaded more than three times that he would take it from me. And so far, his answer has been no. But he does promise us that his grace is sufficient. And his grace means that he will draw near to us. And I don't feel like I'm any longer sitting under in submission, even though I am. I feel like he's drawing me near to him, next to him. And it's a very freeing place to be. So I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but when you're studying and learning something, does God give you a way to apply it? So has anybody had new circumstances in their life over the last 6 weeks that have been challenging that you've had to take to him in prayer? So our son, the same one, of course, is having some complications with his medication that he's on, and he had to have ankle surgery. And so last Thursday night, we were home, and he was trying to do something that should have been very simple, and he got really frustrated and was quite emotional about it. And so I was trying to talk to him about it, and he was crying, and I said, you know what? Let's talk to the Lord about this. Let's pray about it and tell him how you're feeling, because that's the first part of lament, right? Be real. Tell him how you're feeling. And he's crying, and he said, he already knows. And my heart was like, oh, because that's exactly how I felt. He already knows. Why do I have to tell him again, you know? And so I explained to him, this is where I love, too, that we can take what we're learning and help our kids with it. I explained to him about lament, and we walked through that, and I prayed with him, and he fell asleep while I was praying. And I don't know how many of you have ever done that. I won't ask for a show of hands. But after I prayed for him out loud, and he fell asleep, I prayed for him with my own lament. And this time I was very real with God, and I told him, God, I hate this cancer. I hate what it does to the people who are riddled with it. I hate that our world is broken. I hate that there is suffering. But then there's that pivotal point where we confess to him our faith, our continued faith, regardless of our circumstances, because our circumstances don't change who he is, right? He's always faithful. And so in that, I said to him, my suffering verses, passage of Psalm 16. So I recited that back to him. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a delightful inheritance. And while at some points it may not feel like those words are truth, his word is truth. So I can trust those words that this is a delightful inheritance. Suffering is the pleasant boundary lines because it keeps me clinging to him all of the time, every day. And where else would I go?